Good Friday. You know, Friday was the day the Lord was crucified. How could that be good? It's only after I became an adult and became a Christian that I understand why good and Friday go together. Today we're going to take a break. We've been going through the book of Ephesians, but today I want to go and I want to talk about the resurrection. I want to talk about the whole weekend. The 3 days that changed the world more than any other. The weekend of the darkness before the dawn. It was the weekend that brought good and evil together like no other time in history. There was a raging spiritual battle taking place, and all of hell's fury was after and aiming at the Son of God that weekend as he laid down his life. That's why I go to the Garden of Gethsemane and I think, man, the Bible says Jesus sweat drops of blood. All of hell's fury was coming after him in those moments. It was intense. There's a term that we've become familiar with in the news lately that I want to talk about today. Sometimes, and we've all heard of it. It's in the news all the time. It's called fake news. Just a couple of weeks ago, CBS 60 Minutes did a special on something called fake news. It's a new term that emerged last fall in the controversial presidential election. Though it may be a new term, it is not a new idea. It's an age-old problem. Trace it all the way back to the Garden of Eden. If you remember, in the Garden of Eden, the serpent was described as the most cunning of all the animals. He took what God had said, twisted it just enough to cause Adam and Eve, to doubt what God said and to doubt God's goodness and cause them to fall into sin. And it was started a cosmic battle for men's souls ever since. So fake news may be a new term, but it's not a new idea. The final week of Jesus' life, the religious leaders were all about fake news. It was front and center. As Jesus made his way into the city on Palm Sunday, if you remember, we last week had the children come up, and they had the palms, and they were waving them, and they were singing, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Well, it was multiplied like that, multiplied by 1,000. As Jesus made his way into the city, the crowds cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, praise the Lord, praise the Son of David." But by the end of the week, fake news had the crowds turn on Jesus. Those same people who had cheered him now cried for his execution. And they screamed for a man by the name of Barabbas to go free. What is fake news? Fake news is an attack on the very fabric of truth. In this case, and honestly, then as is now, the biggest attack that we see scripturally and satanically is the attack on the identity of Jesus. Who is Jesus? For years, some people have operated on the principle, if you don't like the truth, simply change it. If you say something enough times, people will begin to believe it. The history of our nation is a good example. People are trying today to tell us that our forefathers' intentions were not to form a Christian nation. If you go back and you read the writings of our forefathers, the vast majority were Christians. They wanted the opportunity to worship. People today are, you know, even to the Oval Office president himself, say, "We're not a Christian nation." That's baloney. People are trying to rewrite history with fake news. Fake news is born out of a dislike for the truth. The first challenge to the gospel was the planting of a fake news story. Jesus and the religious leaders come front and center, and I'm going to take you through with the technology that we have. Mark has put this in, and Michaela's got them, I think. A few days before Palm Sunday, Jesus raised Lazarus, and the people rallied behind Jesus. The chief priests and the cohorts began to plot, and fake news took root. John chapter 11, I want you to look at this. So the chief priests and the Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin and said, "What are we going to do since this man does so many signs? If we let him continue in this way, everyone will believe in him. Then the Romans will come and remove both our place and our nation. So from that day on, they plotted to kill him. Then the next verse, Matthew chapter 21, verses 14 and 15. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple complex, and he healed them. When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonders that he did, and the children shouted in the temple complex, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. So we see from that day forth they plotted to kill him. And then on that Palm Sunday, as he had come into town and as he began to heal and to teach, the religious leaders were getting angrier and angrier. This word indignant in the Greek, we don't even have an English term that would be a good swap for this word. Anger, hatred, fury. The word I like is fury that they had for Jesus. They hated him. They wanted him dead. Now, Monday came the cleansing of the temple. On Tuesday, Jesus was back in the temple teaching. And as he did so, Matthew 21, 45 and 46 is the next slide. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they knew he was speaking about them. Although they were looking for a way to arrest him, they feared the crowds, because they regarded him as a prophet. They were looking for a way to arrest him. They were plotting. Then Matthew 22, 15. Then the Pharisees met together to plot how to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. So you see, time after time after time, the religious leaders and Jesus are going at it. And they are trying to make him slip up. They are trying to make him make a mistake. They are plotting to get him. Now, Matthew 26, 3 and 4. As you know, the Passover is 2 days away. The Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. And they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. They had it up to here. They were trying anything at this point. Now they just wanted him dead. They want him out of the way. They want him gone. Now the next one, Matthew 26, verses 59 and 60. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. So do you see what we've got going here? What is false witnesses? What is false evidence? It's fake news. They were looking for fake news so that they could kill Jesus. It's early Friday morning now. They're standing before Pilate. Matthew 27, verse 20. The chief priests and the elders, however, persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to execute Jesus. One was guilty, one was innocent. These same people just a few days before. 4 or 5 days before. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds with fake news to ask for Barabbas and to execute Jesus. They cry out. Now, I'm going to put one more up here in just a minute. They know. Pilate knows. His wife warned in a dream, don't mess with Jesus. But go ahead and put this last one up, 28, 11 through 13. got one more bit of fake news. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony that they are bringing against you?" Can you hear what they're saying? Are you going to defend yourself? You know, what is fake news? As the women were there to anoint Jesus' body, we hear that the tomb was empty. The guards went to report to the chief priests. And here's what it says. The chief priests, after finding out that the guards were telling them there's no body there, it says this, they devised a plan. They gave them a large sum of money. And you say, you guys say, somebody stole him. Again, fake news. Fake news is dangerous. Fake news is still told to people today. This morning there will be people trying to disprove the resurrection of the Lord. Just like I'm telling you today, the resurrection of the Lord is key to everything that goes on in our faith. Next Sunday has no meaning unless Christ rose on that first Easter. Has no meaning. There is no chance for eternity unless Christ arose at first Easter. The question of did Jesus rise from the dead? And let me tell you another thing that fake news is being spread a lot out there. If your good outweighs your bad, God will approve of you. There are a lot of people in our world who believe, you know, I've got this level of good and this level of bad, if my level of good beats my level of bad, when I die, I'll go to heaven. Wrong. That's fake news. That's fake news. You got no chance if you believe that. This morning, fake news is preached in pulpits all across our country. Listen, you can't visit enough nursing homes. You can't visit enough hospitals. You can't visit enough jails. You can't feed enough orphans. You can't be good enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't give enough to get to heaven. Fake news of some will imply this very simple truth. Jesus is not enough. Jesus plus, you fill in the blank, question mark. Jesus plus something equals salvation. That is fake news. Jesus needs no help. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Jesus is your only hope this morning. You have no other hope but Jesus. You can be good. You can visit orphans. You can feed hungry. You can clothe. You can visit the sick. You can do all of those things. And if you don't know Christ, you are lost and on your way to hell. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the hope. Jesus that day, the crowds were filled with fake news. There's fake news out there today that says, if you do this or if you do that. Let me tell you, Jesus has already done it all. When he paid the price that Friday, that good Friday, he took your sin and my sin, and it was nailed to the cross. But let me tell you, there had to be more. There had to be more. Because if he would have stayed in the grave, death would have won. Friday's fake news seemed to reign that day. The world turned against Jesus. And as a matter of fact, everyone turned against Jesus. Everyone. Judas, we know his story, for 30 pieces of silver. Really? 30 pieces of silver. But what about Peter? What about John? They couldn't even stay awake and pray as Jesus went face to face with the enemy. And the crowd, they had turned on him. The kiss that Judas planted was an act of betrayal, but that act of betrayal was committed by all. Friday was the day when it seemed that fake news had won. Jesus was dead. The disciples were scattered. The earth itself shook. But then came the silence of Saturday. You know, we don't talk a lot about Saturday. We talk about Friday and Sunday. What about Saturday? It was a time when there was a quietness, a solemnness. A time when their faith was tested. Understand that faith is in a person. And that fake news had taken that person from them. They were in a crisis. It was a crisis of hope. Where do we go now? Ever been there? Ever been there in your life when you didn't know which direction to go, what to do next? Where all you could do was wait? Ever sat and thought life isn't fair? Ever ran a situation through your mind over and over again, thinking, what happened? What could have happened? All those thoughts had to roll through the apostles' minds and hearts that Saturday. Did I just waste 3 years of my life? Saturday was a dark day. It was a day of waiting. Again, it was a day where fake news seemed to reign. The frenzy of Friday, the silence of Saturday. But Sunday. Sunday would be a day where the world would change forever. As I read that passage from Matthew 28, they went to the tomb. They were told, he's not here. He's risen. Have you ever wondered what the disciples did that weekend? Wondered what they thought? You know, we don't know everything that happened, but we do know some things. We do know one thing. We do know one very important thing. They came back. They came back. Slowly, one by one, they came back. And they made their way to Galilee as they were told to do. Too guilty to be counted in, but too faithful to be counted out. And they made their way back. Why did they come back? Matthew 26:32 says, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. Maybe they heard those rumors. Maybe they began to hear that someone said Jesus was not in the grave. Those that had spent time with Jesus, and they were the most, they had learned to expect the unusual. They'd seen him scare the devil out of some demoniacs. They had seen him raise a man who'd been in the grave 4 days. They probably began to wonder and think, if anybody could, he could. But the news seemed too good to be true. The simple fact that they returned despite their own shame says something about Jesus. So when they came back, each had a scrapbook of memories. But they also had this. They had a thin thread of hope. Just maybe what I'm hearing is true. And what if it's true? If I could just have one more chance. Yeah, I ran out. But if I could just have one more chance. You know, the great celebration of Easter is about God breathing life into a hopeless situation. Think back. You remember the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel? Ezekiel stood out in the midst of the valley, and he looks out into a valley of dry bones. Everywhere he looks, there's dead bones, a whole army of dead bones laying out in the middle of that field. Israel was a defeated nation. It had been crushed militarily. But the question comes to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, only you know. In other words, God, only you can accomplish such a feat. Only you know whether these bones can be made to live again. We know that thin thread of hope. just maybe he's alive, brought those apostles back together. Remember when Jesus asked Martha at the resurrection of her brother, at Lazarus' death, Jesus had told her these words, "I'm the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and he who believes in me will never die." And then he asked this question, "Do you believe this? Do you have that much faith?" Because listen, who raises the dead? Only God can do that, right? Do you believe this was a question? Do you believe that I am God? I want to tell you something. On your final exam, when you stand before the Lord, and I stand before the Lord, the final exam is this. It's a one-question test, by the way. Do you believe this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's a one-question test. Do you believe this? And that one question was what he asked Mary. Do you believe this? Because understand this. When Jesus walked out of that tomb under his own power, that word impossible was removed from vocabulary. Because with God, all things are possible. I want you to hear that. With God, all things are possible. I don't know what you're going through today, but with God, all things are possible. A God that can bring the dead back to life can solve any problem you've got this morning. God raises dreams from the dead. He resurrects dead relationships. He heals sin-sick hearts. No matter what Satan has stolen, Christ can take it back. When Jesus died on the cross that day, the demons in hell celebrated. Satan smiled. Fake news had won the day. But I'm going to tell you something. God got the final word. And God has the final say. He always does. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you give him a chance, he'll give you a second chance. If you will bring what's broken in your life to him, he can fix it. He can give you your joy back. He can give you your purpose back. He can give you your life back. The thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Do you believe this? If you do, God will make the impossible possible in your life. Folks, that's good news. That's the hope that you have. And I know every one of us here today are in different places in our life. Some of you are here today, and I'm telling you, if you died today, if your heart took its last beat, you don't really know where you're going to spend eternity. Maybe some of you do, and it's not where you'd like to. Do you believe this? Do you believe what I've told you today? Do you believe that Jesus is your only hope? Let me tell you, if you do, there's help today. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Simply, Lord, I'm sorry. My life has taken the wrong path. I've made wrong choices. I'm sorry for where it's led me. Forgive me. I want to follow you. I want to trust you. I want to live for you. With just those simple words, if you pray those to the Lord and you mean those, because Christ, knowing Christ died for your sins, you can receive salvation. In a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. If that's a prayer that you would like to pray this morning, I'll be here at the front. If you're here today, and you've been discouraged, been beaten down by life, situations, and you need hope. Let me tell you, Easter is a reminder that God gives hope to hopeless situations. Maybe you're in the silence of Saturday right now, looking forward. The hope of salvation comes on Sunday. Hope of forgiveness. hope of a new start. If you're here today and you feel like the Lord is leading you to join and be a part of this church, we'd love to have you. Receive you by baptism, by statement of faith, or by transfer of letter. But make sure you know the answer to the question, do you believe this? Do you believe that Christ is the only way this morning? And if you believe that, act on it. Because if I say I believe something, I don't act on it, I don't believe it. You believe what you act on. Let's stand as we sing.